Welcome to the God's Goodness Podcast, where our mission is to encourage and highlight God's goodness in modern day miracles. We are your hosts, Josh and Shelley Hankins. Today we have with us a special guest, Christine Collins Riley. But before opening prayer, I want to thank you for taking time out of your day to tune in. I feel the Holy Spirit has something to say to everybody in every episode, so stay tuned to see what he has to say to you. Christine and I met in a community called Kingdom Seekers, and it is amazing if you want to get to know the kingdom better and get revelation, and it's just an amazing community. So I'll have you open us up with an opening prayer, Christine.
All righty. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. What a blessing it is to be here in this moment and in this space. Lord, I pray that you would bless this time. I pray that you'd bless the words that come out of our mouth, and may the words that you put in our hearts to speak, we be bold enough to say. Lord, I thank you for this medium. I thank you for this group that are here listening. And I pray that the blessing that you have for them will be amazing, and it will be an answer to their prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. So now we get into the heart of the story, Christine. Where would you like to start?
let the listeners
know that we were doing a little conversation. We had a little conversation before the podcast that she thought we were recording. So we're just going to let the Holy Spirit guide everything.
Yeah. Wow.
My bad.
Well, like we were talking about, it was amazing how God has been Jireh for us in this last season, and learning to just let go. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how when you finally let go, God says, oh, you're going to let me drive now. Cool. Now we know where I'm going. I was concerned that we were going to wind up in a ditch. You know? And I think it's so funny how, you know, that there, you know, I'm not going to say that, but, you know, there's that time in our life where we're just hanging onto the steering wheel so tight. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to drive, and we're driving at night without the lights on. Mm-hmm. And we're just driving off like we are clued in and we know stuff. Mm-hmm. And while the King and the God of the cosmos is our Father, he's sitting in the passenger seat saying, whenever you're ready, mm-hmm. I'll drive and I'll turn on the lights and I'll get us where we need to be.
I was sharing with Christine. Let me let the listeners know, we were sharing with Christine that we know God as Jireh very intimately, as he got us through 27 months and 1 week of no discernible income. And we didn't lose the house or the utilities. And he just kept showing up in the most creative ways. And I should have written them all down, but I was so busy being unemployed.
And you know, it's so funny, in this season, I have started writing down the prayers that I pray. And the mood that I'm in, or the emotions I'm feeling at the time. And we're only, what is this, 11 days into January. And here we are seeing answers that came at me in a way that were like, but that's not the prayer I prayed. God says, no, because see, I don't really just answer that basic prayer. I give you above and beyond.
Yeah.
Because I know the heart and I know the need beyond that. I know I have the understanding beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know where it's going to come.
He knows the actual need in your prayer, not the need you think you need.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I have been that person who's prayed for other people and watched the miraculous happen. And then I turn around and I'm like, but God, what about? And he says, well, if I can do it for them, I can do it for you.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
I don't run out of a hard time with that. Yeah. Thinking healing
he
for
says
him.
And see, God says stuff to me like this. He says, I don't run out of resources after I answer that prayer. He says, the shelves are always stocked in my house. Mm. You know, the bank account doesn't, you know, go to zero when I pay somebody else's bills. You know, and if you trust me as Jireh and you call me that, then you have to be aware that my resources are endless. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we look at other people and we say, well, you know, okay, well, God did this or God did that for them. Maybe I shouldn't be praying that prayer. We're a whole different case. We're a whole different situation. we're a child of his in a whole different place.
Yes, child, exactly. You know, that's what it means to be a child of God. He says to be like these little ones, to be wholly dependent upon him. When I was a little kid, did I know where my food was coming from? No, Dad put it on the table. Did I know where any of my comfort was coming from? No, Dad brought it home. Whatever I needed was taken care of. I never worried for a thing as a child. And that is what God calls us to do, to be like children for him. Mm-hmm. Don't worry for a thing. Just assume your papa's got it.
Yeah, like Matthew says, if he can take care of the birds, why wouldn't he take care of you? He loves you. You're made in his image. He's in you. Well, if you accepted him into your heart, that's the important part.
And he still works blessings for those who don't.
He does.
He still
does. And you're like, what? He's still that's
a good
amazing.
God. He is still a good father.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, I often wonder, when I was younger, I was that kid who was always the why. Mm-hmm. Why does this happen? Why does that happen? And not necessarily in a negative way, mm-hmm. but I have noticed that when we stop asking why, we stop asking the really good questions. Because it's not important.
Mm-hmm. Right, we start accepting it.
Yes, and I'm not that person. So I always have been that why kid. And it was funny because a couple of years ago, my daughter blessed me with a sweatshirt and it just says why on it. And so she says to me, she says, you know, I thought that why ended with like 4-year-olds or 5-year-olds. She says, but with you, it's always a why? Why aren't you doing it this way? Why did you do it this way? And sometimes I will ask God that same question. Well, why didn't you do it this way? And I am so blessed to have a God that answers me. Mm-hmm. And he will show me just a little glimpse as to why. Hmm. Like a couple of years ago, I asked for a house. And I know that's a big ask. Mm-hmm. And I asked for a house and I wrote down exactly what I wanted, but I left a few things out. And a couple of years into living in the house, I said, well, why didn't you do this? God says, why didn't you ask? Hmm. And I went, oh, so that's how it goes. And he says, yeah, next time ask bigger for me. And I'll show you that I am a bigger God than you thought possible.
Yeah, he showed us a studio. We got blessed with a studio in August of 24. So that was on my list of things in a new rental, was an in-house studio.
It's funny. He didn't show us that. He showed you.
Well.
Don't you love how that happens?
Oh, as the husband in this family, I am infinitely aware that I am the other half of the sole person here. And I often have to be the brunt of the things that my mind is doing without me. That's clearly what this is all the time. And I just love her. So here we are. And
he's here for it.
All of it.
See, I think that's what happens to us too. Sometimes we have that strong person in our relationship. There's one that's pretty strong. And then there's the other one that's just standing there going, did you actually just ask God for that? Because my husband will do that too. He will, like, I will actually write something down and I will lay it before the Lord, as the word says, you know, lay your plans before the Lord. And so I do that. And my husband will see it, like, and I'll do it pretty often. So I put it on the dining room table and I have this salt shaker and I'll put it on top of it. And I'll say, okay, God, here's the plan. I'm going to bed. Good night. And it never fails that every morning I wake up after I put that plan on the table, God says, well, why don't you add this to it? Mm. Why don't you do this thing in this way? And I'm like, yes, Lord, because my plan was just so in my head and so in the box.
Primary,
and here comes God going, why don't you open the box?
It's going to make it a supernatural thing.
Yes. And my father used to say this. He used to say, you know, you can do super. And, you know, God, I can't. I can do the natural part. Mm-hmm. So you do the super part. I'll do the natural part, and it'll be dynamic. Mm-hmm. And
that's what
so
I'm talking
that,
about.
That's what I used to hear when I was a kid. Mm. So my growing up was, you do your part and watch what God does. But then when you grow up and you become the adult, and you have to be the one who's making the provision, or you think you do, and it doesn't quite come through, you're like, but God, I'm an adult. I'm supposed to be providing. I'm supposed to do this. God says, my role didn't change. What made you think yours did? You're still my child. Mm-hmm. It's still my job to provide.
It reminds me of Charles Stanley. He always said, obey God and leave the consequences to him.
Yeah.
And then you just see him show up. It's so cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then he shows off. Because he delivers above and beyond what you were hoping for. And I was hoping for guests for February, and like referrals rather, as guests. And I was hoping for one to be like someone who was into like tarot cards or like in a witchy kind of background and like that kind of past. And he provided me with a guest who has like energy vampirism. I never heard of that, but I guess it's even darker than a regular witch. And I'm like, oh, so she's like the witchiest ex-witch of all witches, ex-witches. So it was just really cool that he is just providing. And then this girl's an author of this Bible study for neurodivergent people. Like if you get easily distracted, it's a Bible study for those people. And I got it for my husband to see if he can enjoy that, because he has that that issue of easily distracted. But God just keeps showing up, and then I'll share about it in a social media video. So follow along, everybody.
See, that's where God, see, we ask. And sometimes we, what does it say? It says, if you ask, I'll answer.
Mm-hmm. Ask and you shall receive. It was always my favorite Bible verse.
Ask me for anything in the name of Jesus and it will be yours.
Absolutely.
And usually it's because he has like planted the seeds of his will, and then you want his will. And then when you pray for that, of course he's going to answer. So it's good.
Absolutely. And that's what happens. See, sometimes I think that we as quote unquote adults think that we have run out of the childlike blessings, and we're thinking, okay, well, we're adults, or the world says we're adults. So if we're adults here, then God must think we are too. So then we're supposed to do all these things for ourselves. And nowhere in the Bible, Jesus never said, well, as an adult, you're on your own. Mm-hmm. He says, no, he says, you need to come as little children, a childlike faith that all things are possible, that anything can be done, that I am not just the God of this moment when you're five, but I am the God of the moment when you're 55 or 105. And sometimes we forget that he's able to show up in situations because we have limited him. He hasn't limited himself. And so we say, oh, yeah, okay, God. You know, I'm not going to ask for this. That seems a little trivial. It seems a little, you know, that's not important. And God says, I'm the God of the little things and the big things. Mm-hmm. I made ants and Mount Everest, you know. Yeah. I didn't just do one or the other. Yeah. I showed up for all of it.
And then the whole universe as well, that fits in the palm of his hand, and he still holds our hearts. And, it just blows my mind. Yeah. Like we think so relationally to our size, and we forget just the grand scope of his whole creation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And then when you read that he sits in heaven and is worshiped, you know, all day long by these angels that just worship all day long. Right. Mm-hmm. And he's still in our space. I have this thing that I say all the time, and I say, he's as close as your next breath. Breathe him in.
Oh, yes.
You know? Because the minute that you just take that deep breath, it's like, oh, yes, Yahweh. You know, we exhale, and it says, you know, in our exhale, it's supposed to be a Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Isn't that fabulous? Mm-hmm. And I just am like, wow, even in my breath, I speak your name. So why is it that I can't get you in my brain?
it's because we have little faith. And not little as small, but little as in duration. And so the miracle that he walloped for us the one day fades in our memories by the next crisis. And we're panicking again and wondering if he can do it, knowing that he can. It's a weird dichotomy that we put ourselves through that because of the lies of the enemy that's constantly berating us at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's another thing, too. When we listen to the wrong voice, we believe the wrong, quote unquote, true. And when we listen to the right voice and we hear the truth, it's a whole different dynamic. We see things differently. And see, most of the time, I'll give you a prime example. You wake up Monday morning and most people are like, oh, wow, it's Monday. Me, on the other hand, I've learned, oh, wow, it's Monday. Let's see what we can get into today, God. Because once you see that it's a hold up, we look at things different when we have a whole grasp on God loves you, or a tiny grasp on he's got it and you don't even need to do it. And for me, I'm the type of person that lately, and I have found this to be so amazing, when I say, okay, God, you take the wheel, you do the thing, you fly the plane, you get us there, I realize that not only do I sleep better, but I don't snap at everybody. And I'm just like, it's on Jesus. I can't do anything about it. It's on Jesus. It's in your hands, Jesus, because if I try to carry it, I'm not going to get very far. I can take a couple of steps. I can be the strong one for about 4, 5. Okay, that's it. Those are the steps I'm taking. You do the rest. I love how big God is. I love how he shows up. Mm-hmm. I love when he says, let me be the one in charge, and you just take a break. Mm-hmm. And
surrender's been like my word of this little season we're in.
Submit, surrender, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, how? Well, show me how to do that, you know?
Yes. There's a song, I'm quite a bit old now, but and the line in the song says, let it go. And sometimes I think that we feel like if we let it go, we're releasing our ability to have control of something, or think that we can make something happen.
Yes.
But what we do is if we let it go and God controls the narrative, there are times where he will let you get the credit. And so I'm like, I think what happens is that we look around and we're like, but if I let all this go, then how am I going to get recognized?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to get seen as the one who paid the bill or did the thing. And God, I need some credit here. And God goes, look, I'll give you all the credit. Just know that I did it. So, and he does always get the glory because all the angels in heaven already knew that he did it. So, I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But I've seen him do some great things in this past season, pay bills and heal bodies and restore families and pick up pieces of situations that you thought would never be able to be put back together. So in the fact that, you know, we call him God, I'm so glad that we also get to call him friend, because he's the one that will be right there and he'll say, you know what? I understand that you were mad at me yesterday, but I'm going to show up again today and I'm going to walk with you and not let anything get you.
The best part is because he knows why we were mad. And he comes at us with this understanding heart because he doesn't blame us. He understands everything that led us to that point our entire life, and everything that led the other person to that point in their entire life that created a conflict anywhere in our lives. And he's not mad at us because of that. He understands that we're broken people. All that he wants is our heart. That's all that he asked for. That's the only thing he's ever pursued is our heart.
Yes, yes, yes. I love that. I love that. And I'm so grateful that he doesn't ask me for more than I can give. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there are times we don't have the energy to even give a yes. You know, we just have to just sit there.
Be still.
And I'm so blessed. Yes. So blessed. That in the times that I have been sitting there and saying, God, you know, it's on you, you know, and he's ready to say, okay, I got this. Mm-hmm. And my big God with his big plan, that is, you know, and I get to be this tiny piece of it. And that's the most amazing thing. And I'm so blessed about that.
Mm.
So, you know, and if we all would look at it as this, and I'm not a fan of puzzles, so any of you that love puzzles, please don't be mad at me. I'm just not the puzzle person.
We love puzzles.
But when I was...
You're done. Interview's over.
We used to do puzzles so much, we each got a puzzle piece and they interlock. Well, puzzle piece tattoo. Let me... And so, yeah.
Well,
but go on.
When I was little, we had a table in our house that always had a puzzle on it. Mm. Always had a puzzle on it. And it used to drive me absolutely crazy because every time somebody would walk by it, they would try to put a piece of that puzzle together. And one time there was a puzzle that was put on the table, and it was a single ice cream cone with the chocolate and the vanilla in the middle and then the strawberry on top.
You know this is trauma. She remembers this way too well.
Yeah, and the whole background is white. Okay? And I remembered thinking, you know, as a child, I'm thinking, this is never going to get done. And then I thought, if one of those pieces of that white was gone, it would ruin the whole puzzle. And it really was one of those things where I was like, if I take one of these pieces, they'll stop putting this stupid puzzle together. It'll disappear. But what God showed me many years later about that story is that every single piece not only is important, but if we don't plug in to be part of the bigger picture, other people are missing out because we didn't put our piece of the puzzle together.
Mm-hmm.
And so God always gives you that piece, and he gives you that just, and look at what you do as just that tiny puzzle piece. Even if you are scared to step into what the assignment is God has for you, it's that big. But look at the major difference it makes.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that so amazing. So, yes, you talk about trauma. Puzzles are just one of those things. People always say to me, oh, we're going to go do a puzzle. And my first reaction is, oh, please don't invite me. You know? And so, but then I realize, you know, all these pieces are so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And they are so important. And God says, I just asked you to be a small piece. Not asking you to carry the whole thing. I'm just asking you to be a tiny piece.
Mm.
Just asking you to put a piece in the puzzle.
Yeah.
What you refuse to do all your childhood, he's asking you just to do that.
Yeah. And see, that's how God showed me who he was through those puzzles. But I'm blessed. I'm really thankful that in my life, and especially in this last season, and we're still going through it, but I'm so glad that he is showing me every day that I only have to make a little effort.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that little effort is, Lord, you take the wheel today. You do it all. Because I don't have anything in the natural that I can supply to make it any better. But your supernatural, your super is going to bless into that natural, whatever the weight of it is, the tiny piece of that puzzle, or, you know, doing something great or going to a speaking event, doing something, whatever it is, whatever I put in, God's going to magnify and bless and turn it into something amazing.
Amen.
And I'm just blessed to be part of it.
Blessed to be on the journey.
You don't know what you're going to get, but you know it's going to be good.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then when you look back, you're like, oh my gosh, look at what he did. It was so neat how it works together.
Well, what is it when it says, you know, I'll do exceedingly above all you could ask, think, or imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to writing those plans down, I write it down and God says, well, what about this? What about that? And I'm like, wow, I didn't think about that. He says, yeah, I know. I read it last night. I noticed. Here's the mark. Here are my notes on your plan. And he doesn't walk in and tell you that your plan is wrong. He says, let's elevate it to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where I'm like excited that God is God in my life. And he's also my father, and he's also my friend. And knowing that he's never going to leave me alone, and he's not going to let me, you know, fall down and get hurt, and he's not going to let any weapon keep forming against me, or, you know, and he's not going to let the bad, you know, when my kids were little, they used to say, I don't want the boogie to get me. And he's not going to let that happen.
Mm-mm.
And I'm so excited that is the God that I have in my life. And the father that says, I love you no matter what. And even when I have a bad day and I say, you know what? I can do this. I got it. Could you just stay over there? I got it. God's like, okay, I'll sit right over here in the lazy boy. And when you are done doing all that, you just let me know and I'll take care of it.
he's a perfect gentle parent.
Yes.
Right. And so he's not going to let us go off and do something holy against him without giving us a lot of warning signs and saying, hey, I'm not sure you want to do that. But as far as the way that we go about our daily life, if we decide, hey, no, no, I'm a big boy, I'm a big girl, I can do this, pick myself up and walk and toddle and fall and pick myself up, he'll let us do that all day long. Mm-hmm. And he is so faithful to us that when we're finally frustrated with our lack of ability, that when we sit there and cry for help, that he is right there for us. I would be so frustrated. I'm so glad that he is not me, because he continues to do this pattern with us. Just like the whole of Israel in the Old Testament, where they would do some things for the Lord, then they would sin. And then they would have 40 years of just suffering. And then they would raise their hands up, Lord, please help us. And he would help them. And then they would screw it up. And then we just get this pattern. It's just like us in our daily lives and kids. We just want to do it so bad on our own that we forget that he is doing it for us.
Yes. Amen.
And we can't mess his plans up, but we can mess ours up pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you know what? It says in the word that he laughs.
Mm-hmm.
And I am sure that he has found my life comical in ways that I was thinking I was angry or frustrated or hurt. And God's laughing. He's like, honey, stop doing that. Stop stepping into stuff. Stop carrying stuff that's not yours. You know, and sometimes we think we're doing the right thing, or we're doing the thing that you're doing something that is so fantastic. It's going to be great for God. And God goes, did I say to do that? I didn't ask you for that. That's not your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we start noticing that we're doing this great thing for God, and there's pitfalls and there's stumbling blocks, and we can't get it. It's not easy. And I'm at the point in my life where the first time it gets tough, I sit down and I go, wait a minute, am I picking this up, or did God put this on my plate? Did God hand this to me, or am I just picking it up because I want to do something that's wonderful for God?
How many years of doing it wrong did it take before you got that wisdom?
Oh boy, if I tell you that, I don't want to look foolish.
I don't think you would. I honestly believe that every single person is identical to that, and that's why the elder has the wisdom. You know, by the time I'm 80, I better make very few mistakes.
Amen.
Right? And when I'm 20, I could see how headstrong I am and wanting to do it. No, Lord, I got this. But by 80, I should be humbled as a humble pie right there. Lord, your will be done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It did. Well, when I first, I was blessed. I grew up in a household where it was military and ministry. People are like, wow, that seems like total opposites. And I used to think, well, they go hand in hand to me. And so I would see the military side of things where there was order and there was, you know, a place for everything and everything in its place, right? And then I would see ministry where God would heal people out of wheelchairs, and there would be, you know, people would be saved, and, you know, all of these beautiful giftings that God gives, right? And so it seems like you have two different constructs there. And there are, you know, you have worldly order and then you have God order. And for me, when I would sit there and watch this, you would think that I would never get it wrong, that I would have great faith, that I would let God always be in charge. And I didn't. And I got to the point in my life where I looked back and I was like, when did I lose the letting God do it all? Where in my life, where on the path did I think that it was a better option for me to try to do it?
It was subtle. The enemy does things, tyranny of the urgent, you know, your windshield wiper breaks. And so you have to take care of it right now. And now you're not going to the Lord because you have an urgent need that you have to take care of. He just does it with small things that build up over time. Because he's a jerk, and I can't wait till Jesus casts him into the lake of fire. That'll be wonderful.
And he gets buried down by
our testimony as he gets bogged into it.
And you know, you're right. You're right. It is the small things. And he says things like, you know what? You better go take care of that. You better go do that. And you're right. It's not, what now? You know, how do I, where's the you in this, God? Mm-hmm. Where is this? You know, where are you in this situation? And what do you want me to do?
You've heard the expression, there's no rest for the wicked. Well, the enemy is very wicked, and he is not resting. He is constantly harassing us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And I'm starting to realize that when you are doing all of the things your way, he doesn't bother you so much. The minute that you sit down and say, okay, Jesus, it's on you, and you start seeing, oh, wow, that, you know, it's like, wait, you're trusting in God, but what about this? What about this? Hey, wait a minute. And you say, no, I'm not going to deal with you today. I'm going to let Jesus deal with all of my stuff. And your mindset changes too, because you start seeing that if God could, I don't know, let's use something out of the box. If God could heal the person that's been in a wheelchair for 25 years, never been able to walk, been paralyzed, if God can do this, Jesus can heal, then why do I have such a problem asking him to take care of my headache today?
Mm-hmm.
You feel selfish. You know?
Right. And the devil goes, oh, it's just a headache. Don't worry about it. You don't need to take that to God. It's just a headache. You'll get over it. Take an aspirin. I'd rather the root of the headache be healed and not have to take another aspirin again than have to keep coming back for an aspirin and an aspirin. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what happens is with us, we turn around and we think, well, it's just a headache because that's what we've been told. But Jesus said, I've come to, by his stripes, all of our issues are healed. All of our diseases, all of our illnesses are healed. That little bitty headache or the person in the wheelchair that's been paralyzed since birth. And sometimes we forget to give all that to God. But I say all this to say this. When we give it all to him and we don't take it back, you live a miraculous life.
Mm-hmm.
And people around you want to know why your life is so beautiful. Why are you happy? This is happening all around you. Well, it's not happening to me because God's protecting me. And yes, it can happen all the way around me. But by the protection of God, it's not going to happen to me. And I'm so thankful for that every day. I want to just tell you guys a really quick story about healing, if I might.
Sure.
How old is my son? I have to figure out how old my son is. About 12 years ago, I was suffering from horrible migraines.
Mm.
And I suffered with them from the time I was born until 12 years ago. Mm. And like I said, I'd been in church my whole life. I had been in ministries where their complete focus was just healing. Okay. Raised in the Jesus movement, right?
Cool.
And yeah, one of my pastors was actually in that time period. And so I was groovy. Like, okay, thank you, Jesus. Yes, yes, definitely. Thank you, Jesus. And so I was at church one day and the pastor's standing at the pulpit and he says, I have God's blessing me with this understanding that somebody here in church today has a violent migraine. Violent was the word he used. And I'm sitting there in the second row, third seat. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, oh, that poor person. I'm sitting there suffering with a migraine. Let's be real clear. Oh, that poor person. I know how that feels. Okay. Second week goes by. Pastor gets up and he says, we're going to pray that people with migraines get healed today. I'm like, oh, yes, that's a great prayer. Let's pray for people that have migraines, that they'll be healed. I'm suffering again with a migraine. Third week goes by. I'm sitting in church. This time I've got sunglasses on in a dark room because it's so bad, but I never want to miss a service, right? You never want to miss church, right? And so I'm sitting there and I'm praising God and the pastor gets up and he says, we're going to pray that God heal people at the root, for the root of their migraine, that they will never have another migraine again. And off to my right was the women's group. They were sitting all together. They all sit together. And the head of the women's group, she leans over and she says, he's talking to you.
That's about time someone told you.
For three weeks, you know, I'm sitting here praying for other people. Oh, Lord, yes, I pray that this person be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Hello. Do I need to say this to you? Well, finally, I needed a verbal confirmation, right? So this woman looks at me and she says, he's talking to you. And the whole congregation heard her say it. So I stood up and I walked to the back and I had this lady pray for me. She says, what am I praying for what are we asking Jesus for today? And I said, I'm the person who he's been talking about for 3 weeks about the migraines. And she looks at me and she says, oh, wow, I'm glad you finally showed up. I was like, wow, okay, Jesus, that's some nice confirmation. And we're praying. And all of a sudden, I feel what feels like sludge or oil. And it's like literally falling, coming out of my head, down my body, out my fingers. And I look down and I can actually see. Usually when I had a migraine, I couldn't see. It was very hard for me to see. And I look down and it looks like a pile or a pool of black liquid on the floor. And I look at this woman and I said, do you see that? And she says, what am I looking at? I said, that pile of black sludge on the floor. And she says, no. And all of a sudden I just step to the left. And I literally take my feet out of that sludge, right? And it's sitting there. I can still see it, okay? And this is how God does things for me. He wants me to be able to see what he's doing. And so she prays for me. And instantly, I get healed. The headache is gone. And I'm a person, now mind you, I was a person who was taking about 30 pills a day. Aspirin, ibuprofen, whatever, Motrin, whatever it was.
That
40
is not
pills
good
a day.
For your liver or kidneys.
Yes, and it could have done some severe damage. Guess what? Thank you, Jesus, it didn't. But I would take medication just to be, you know, just to function. It wouldn't get rid of the headache. I was the person going to the emergency room and having shots in the back of my neck. And it wouldn't stop. I couldn't figure it out. Okay, so I got healed completely that day. That was my birthday, actually.
Wow.
12 years ago.
What a good present.
God says, here's your present. I love you. Well, the next morning, I'm sitting on the bed. And I'm sitting on the edge of the bed, and my husband is getting ready for work. And it was kind of a routine thing. I would sit on the edge of the bed, and I'd put my head in my hands because I would probably have had a migraine. But I'm praying for him. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. I pray you bless my husband today at his job. May he be favored, whatever it was, whatever I would say. And my husband sits down beside me, puts his arm around me, and he says, oh, he said, you have one of those horrible headaches. And I took my head out of my hands and I said, no, I don't. And he looked at me and he said, really? And I said, yeah, I got healed yesterday, remember? And he says, oh, I thought that was just for the moment. And I said, no, I'm running with this. I am healed. I am never going to have another headache as long as I live. And I didn't say migraine. I said headache. So nothing. And let me tell you the praise report. In 12 years, I have not taken an aspirin for a headache. I have Hallelujah. Had my liver tested over and over and over again. There is no sign of damage.
Oh, yes.
I don't have stomach ulcers from taking all the aspirin that I took.
Nice.
Because God said, you know what? If I'm going to heal that, then I should heal the other stuff too, so that there are no problems, so that you can brag on me that I healed you completely at the root. That's where God shows up for me. So when I tell you that he is my Jireh and my Rapha and my Matsuda, when I tell you God is everything to me, I'm not leaving anything out. I'm not leaving anything in my hand and saying, I'll take care of this. I'm saying God is my all, my everything, and I wouldn't trust myself to pay my bills, but I will definitely trust my God. I don't trust myself to heal this body, but I trust my God.
Amen.
And that is my big God moment.
Hallelujah.
I love it.
That's amazing.
That's so cool. When I was healed of 17 years of chronic neck and shoulder pain by the power of prayer and the laying of hands. And I was in tears that last day. I was like, I can't take it. You have to pray for me. And I was on muscle relaxers, painkillers, all the stuff. And when he took it away, it was nuts because like I got this. Josh was like, how do you feel? And I was like, oh, I got a headache. And he's like, we're going to pray again. And then we prayed again and the headache moved. And he's like, all right, we're going to pray again. And then it moved again. And I'm like, this is nuts. I never had a headache move from different parts of my head.
From her neck to the very top of her head, slowly moving up to the very top of her head.
And the front. And then it was gone and the pain was gone and I've been healed ever since. That was
Thank
2015.
You, Jesus.
10 like, years
like,
ago.
Like the spirit of infirmity was in her deep, you know, like the spirit of infirmity was in you deep and Jesus just liquefied it on the floor beneath you. Right.
Yes.
And you know, just because we can't share the same house with the Holy Spirit with anything else demonic doesn't mean that they can't affect our flesh adversely all the time at will. Right. Yep. because of our sin. Yes. We give them legal right to do all sorts of harm to us that we need to keep running to Papa for.
Yep.
And, you know, even though we don't engage in practices that increase these problems, it doesn't mean that they aren't there from before we introduced ourselves to Jesus, right?
Right.
It doesn't mean before we allowed the Holy Spirit to come in, we didn't have all this junk inhabit us.
Right, right. And you know what's so funny about us is that we turn around and we I always tell people, I'm like, stop praying the small prayers. Mm. You know, you have big issues. Stop praying the small prayers. And I mean, I don't despise small beginnings, but at this stage in the game, be bold.
Amen.
And when people come at me and they say, you know, you got healed. I want it too. I'm like, get over here. Let's pray a big prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Come, you know, it. Receive it.
And I'm one of these people that it's like, I will stop in the middle of a grocery store, a big box store. I've even had my husband stop the car, and I've gotten out of the car and gone and prayed for the homeless guy on the corner.
I believe it.
And then when we could, and then when we couldn't find the homeless guy for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I'm like, where did he go? And I see him someplace else, and I'm like, well, what happened? He turns around and he says, after you prayed for me, this lady came up and she said, I have a room that you could have and until you can get on your feet.
Mm.
And he says, I never thought to pray for a roof over my head. Mm. I was praying daily that I had just a little bit of food to eat.
Mm.
And I'm like, no, you got to start praying big prayers. That big prayer for me was that I couldn't function. I couldn't do what God was asking me to do. I couldn't fulfill the assignment. Because I couldn't see. I couldn't function during the day. This headache was so bad. I had daily headaches for probably 30 years.
Mm. Wow.
And it was so bad that I couldn't move. I couldn't see. I had 5 sets of curtains on my windows.
Mm.
My children lived in complete darkness.
They probably had the whitest skin. Like little porcelain dolls.
I do. And you know what is so fabulous about it? I walk out now in the sun, and there are days I don't even put sunglasses on. Mm. I was walking around my house, 5 sets of curtains and sunglasses every day for 30 years.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell you what, when God broke that off of me, I was like, wow, let me see what the world looks like without this.
It's like a cliche bondage. Movie vampire that just wants to see the sunrise one last time.
And you know what?
No, and it'll kill them.
Yeah. And you know, and I'm so blessed that God took that from me.
Wow.
That's no longer a moniker that I wear. Now I turned around and I walk around and I go, yeah, you know what? Somebody, let's pray for healing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, what qualifies you? Well, I got healed of migraines.
What an awesome gift. Like, there's so many ways you could look at it. When I just made that little funny inference, but like, he literally gave you a sunrise and a sunset again. Mm-hmm. He gave you something to look at again. He gave you a park in the middle of the day. Like, he gave you so much freedom.
Like absolutely.
It's not just a release of pain, but there's so much life he gave you with that.
Mm.
Yes. And the thing too about Jesus is that he doesn't just kind of fix one thing. Mm-hmm. It's not a kind of fix. It's a complete fix. See, for me, I walk in a complete healing every day.
Mm-hmm.
I get up in the morning and I'm like, thank you, Jesus, that I am healed, whole, and complete. And what the word says about me, over me, and through me will be today. And I stand in that. I stand in that because if I turned around one day and I was like, I don't feel good, then I give the enemy that little door to open and come back in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you messing with me. I got stuff to do.
Amen.
I have heard that from my wife on countless times.
I'm busy today.
I don't have time for you.
Yeah. He got the norovirus and I didn't hear about that. And then I looked it up and he got it. And you would think the rest of the family would get it, but I put that prayer request out to my friends on Facebook and he woke up and I said, I had people praying the blood of Jesus over you. And people were praying that the rest of the family wouldn't get sick. And praise the Lord, we don't have time for that.
And here I was, when I was hugging the toilet, I was literally praising God because even though it was violent and painful, at no point was it the volume so much that I couldn't breathe. And that's, I think, the worst part. And so therefore I was in pain, but I can take pain. And so I was just so grateful. I remember being on the cold bathroom floor because I cramped my back muscle and all of this. And boy, that really hurt. I don't know if you've ever had like a cramped toe. Imagine the long muscle in your back doing that. Like I was twitching like I got tased. And I remember lying on the floor and I just remember thanking God and praising him that it wasn't as bad. And I don't know, like, I'm looking back now, I'm like, I can't believe that I was thanking him that it wasn't bad, because it was horrible.
Nathan said it sounded like you were dying in there.
Oh, man, it was horrid. And it was the right spiritual attitude I had. And looking back, my flesh is like, I don't know why you were praising him, because you were like, I'm still sore.
Yeah.
And my spirit's like, I still praise him. I'm still praising this morning. Like, let's do this. Yeah. I'm so excited about that.
Another praise report is he didn't cough at all this podcast.
And oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I still good. Got some coughing going on.
Yeah. Not this time.
But see, there's a God moment, stepping up, stepping in. And when we step up and step in, God shows off.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, all I asked you to do, just take the one step up the staircase. You don't have to take the whole staircase today. Just take the step.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm that person who I'm like, one step. I could do 17 today. And God says, yeah, you probably could, but you're going to miss the blessings. Mm-hmm. If you do it 17 in a day, I need you to do it one a day, mm-hmm. and receive the blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And do the next step and receive the blessings. So that is my nickels worth of free advice. Take a step and take it a step at a time. Receive the blessings.
Mm. Well, this has been so good, Christine. I love our conversation. And it's just so good.
Well, thank you for letting me come on and chat with you.
I love it.
Anytime. Absolutely. I love it. I love praising God. I love people who have stories about how good God is. Anytime. You clearly have a plethora of stories that embody the goodness of God. And so, you know, I can see why my wife enjoys talking with you.
Well, I am so blessed to be part of your outreach and be part of just, I'm that person who will stand on the street corner and just praise God and be excited. And I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I can't wait. And, you know, I would love to have another opportunity. If the opportunity ever arose, I would love to come and chat with you all again.
Awesome.
Very cool. Well, if this episode has been a blessing to you, we ask that you pass it along so someone else can be encouraged. And if you could do us a solid and rate the podcast in Spotify or Apple Podcast, that would help us and help the algorithm understand that people are loving it, and then it can send it to more people and more people can be encouraged. And if you'd like to support us in our ministry, we have a few different ways you can give in the About section of the podcast. So check those out. We have a variety of options, and we would also love prayers. Don't want to forget that. And with that, we'll talk to you next time.